A reading from Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus.
Teacher,
he said,
what must I do to inherit eternal life?
He said to him,
what is written in the law? What do you read there?
He answered,
you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
And he said to him,
you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live.
But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus,
and who is my neighbor?
Jesus replied,
a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?
He said,
the one who showed him mercy.
Jesus said to him,
go and do likewise.
Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked,
Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me.
But the Lord answered her,
Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me say first, it is so good to be with you this morning. It's been a long time since I've had the chance to be among you, and I have missed you all. I've been attending services at my home congregation, St. Andrew, in Shadyside, but I have been in prayer for all of you in the Plum congregations. You're a special group of people. You are wonderfully loved and cared for by our Lord. And again, it's wonderful to be with you this morning. I just want to ask your indulgence because this is the first time that I've actually tried to preach into a camera. And so, it's a little strange for me. I wanted to read my sermon this morning, but I even bored myself reading it. So let me at least just try to tell you how this text has affected me. The story of the Good Samaritan and the story of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet are really connected in a wonderful way. And that is, to me, it's like the 40 days of Lent are an opportunity to really just listen to Jesus. It's a time to get away from the busyness things of this world and to take a few moments in our days to listen to Jesus, to hear him and to let his words come into our hearts and into our lives and to change us. We receive his compassion. We receive his mercy. We receive his love as we listen to him and take some time to really hear his words in our life. He loves us. He cares about each of our moments. He wants us to be close to him because he is our life. And when we take that time, when we hold his hand, we have the opportunity to be the very best selves we can be. I like to think of the 40 days of Lent as a journey, a chance to walk with Jesus, to be his companion on the road to Jerusalem. Yeah, and that's where we're going. We're going to Jerusalem. We know that Jesus is walking on that road very purposefully. He's walking on that road, he knows, to his death. But he does that for us. He gives his life in love for us, for us. And so the opportunity to just companion him in that walk as he companions us is the powerful journey that we enter into in the time of Lent. We know the end of the story. Jesus does die on a cross for us, but he rises from the dead. And this is our model, brothers and sisters, that we should die with him and rise with him every day and in every moment of our lives. He teaches us that if we face our fears, if we enter into our struggles, if we engage our suffering, if we are willing to see the very worst in ourselves, our shame, our guilt, the way we hurt others, if we are willing to go through that, Jesus teaches us that that is the way to salvation, to healing, to resurrection, and to the power of life that he gives. And so that is our calling in this Lenten walk, to do that. And the lawyer really poses the two questions that are most interesting, or the questions that we like to use in our lives, or I mean that are most characteristic of us as human beings. The first question is, what must I do? What must I do to inherit, to enter into eternal life? That is our question, brothers and sisters, every day. Reason? Because we are created in the image of God. We are created by God for eternity. Eternal life is our goal. That is what we desire, and that is what God intends for us. And so the question of the lawyer is our question. What must I do? And Jesus says to the lawyer, well, you have the answer. It is within you. What do you think? And that is true of all of us. The answer to that question is in our hearts. the lawyer says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, that's excellent. That's right. Now go and do it. And of course, the next question of the lawyer is also our question. How do I do that, Lord? How do I actually do that? Who is my neighbor? And that reveals something about us as well. It reveals oftentimes that we have a preference to try to earn our way into heaven by what we do or how we act. We are great at building the boundaries and the limitations by which we can position ourselves closer to God while excluding others and even oppressing others because they're not like us. So we hear in the questions of the lawyer both who we are inherently as God's people and who we oftentimes show ourselves to be in our own selfishness and in our own waywardness. But Jesus never lets go of our hand. He says to the lawyer, you also have the answer to that question. So let me tell you this story. And we've called that story the story of the Good Samaritan. But actually, that's our name for the story. Jesus never names it that. He just tells the story. And he expects us to listen. He expects us to sit back and let the story flow over us. Let it steep for a bit. Let it seep into your bones. See yourself in the story. Where do you fit? Think about it for a moment. You might be any of the characters in the story. The story seemingly gives us an answer when the lawyer says, well, the one who showed mercy. But that compels us to ask the question, well, what is mercy? How do I show it? How do I demonstrate it? How does it actually appear in my life? Well, that's where your life comes in. That's where you, uniquely, who God made you to be, that's where the answer resides for you. God has so gifted you. God has so filled you with the Spirit. God has so wonderfully loved you that you have the opportunity to answer that question and to fulfill that answer in who you are, what you do, who you love, and how you reach out in mercy to everyone in your circle. Everyone to whom God has called you. But here is an answer to that question, because I want to read it from someone who is very special to me and who has been a person who has always been a model of the godly life for me and in my ministry. So this is what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in April of 1967. A true revolution of values will soon cause us to question the fairness and justice of many of our past and present policies. On the one hand, we are called to play the Good Samaritan on life's roadside, but that will be only an initial act. One day, we must come to see that the whole Jericho Road must be transformed so that men and women will not be constantly beaten and robbed as they make their journey on life's highway. True compassion is more than flinging a coin to a beggar. It comes to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. These are the words of Dr. King. And that view of the Jericho Road leads us to some uncomfortable directions as we consider our lives now in the context of this place. In the forefront of my own thinking, in the forefront of my own mind, this calls me to think about the issues of white supremacy and racism in our own culture. In my own mind, that's where I go when I think about this right now and what I am called to do. I ask the question of myself, what must I do to be merciful? What can I do to be a merciful person in the struggle for those who are working now to make this right in our culture? These are the questions that I must answer for myself as I struggle forward and try to be that merciful person in my world today. And so each one of us has these questions that we must ask of ourselves. How are we going to be that merciful person? Thank God that Dr. King also provided an answer, a little bit of encouragement for that how. And here's what he said. This call for a worldwide fellowship that lifts neighborly concern beyond one's tribe, race, class, and nation is in reality a call for an all-embracing and unconditional love for all humankind. This oft misunderstood, this oft misinterpreted concept, so readily dismissed by the Nietzsches of the world as a weak and cowardly force, has now become an absolute necessity for the survival of humanity. When I speak of love, I am not speaking of some sentimental and weak response. I am not speaking of that force which is just emotional bosh. I am speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to ultimate reality. This Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist belief about ultimate reality is beautifully summed up in the first epistle of St. John. Love, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and God's love is perfected in us. Let us hope that this spirit will become the order of the day. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this Spirit will be the order of our day and the order of our Lenten walk and journey. So I pray for each and every one of us, and I pray for myself, that we might be the merciful people who bring such love to those in our lives, those who are closest to us, those who are in our neighborhoods, those who are in our community, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. This is the wonderful opportunity God gives us to be partners in the work of transforming the world God loves so much. May this be our guide star in this Lenten time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.